Hussein are premature. He can now argue that he has fulfilled most of the United Nations requirements of him and cooperated with their weapons inspectors while his country suffers the torment of sanctions.
In April 93, a showdown with UNSCOM led to new Allied bombing. Within months, UN inspectors had announced that their work was all over. But the Security Council now demanded long-term surveillance. Until that was in place, sanctions would stay. A UNICEF report detailed the consequences. Sanctions have led to a virtual collapse of healthcare, water supply, and sanitation. Politically motivated sanctions cannot be implemented in a way that spares the vulnerable. The report was shelved.
Sanctions against Iraq is affecting everybody in Iraq. It's affecting the Arabs as much as the Kurds. It's affecting the pro-Saddam forces, and it's affecting the anti-Saddam. It's affecting the pro-Western, it's affecting the anti-Western. There is no one exempted from the sanction. The sanctions are on the whole country.
The government ration now supplied only two-thirds of energy requirements and lacked vital nutrients. Malnutrition amongst children was widespread and lowered resistance to disease. Dysentery, cholera, and typhoid, eradicated before the war, were epidemic. With medical imports cut by 90%, Iraq's once high-tech health service was unable to cope.
If you see our hospitals, we are complaining of shortage in everything, and I mean it, everything.
Medical staff were forced to choose. Which child shall have medicine? Which child shall be left to die? An Iraqi doctor wrote, "For children with leukemia to begin treatment, families sell their belongings and even their homes, and after bringing in the drugs from Jordan, the children are dying from uncontrolled infection." Two-thirds of children in a psychiatric survey did not believe they would survive to adulthood. They were trapped within their trauma and unable to escape. Time seems to have stopped.
I was just asking my little boy, he's 7 years old. He is scared every time he hears a noise. He thinks, well, where's the rocket? The kids really are shattered.
Children from poorer families were forced out of school to work or to beg.
What will they do in the future if a child of 13 or 14 years old leaves school now? What will become of him?
In July, the United Nations World Food Programme warned that 20 million Iraqis were now simply engaged in a struggle for survival. Yet the Sanctions Committee banned essential items on the grounds that they were dual use. Wheelchairs, because aluminium is used in aircraft wings. Angina tablets, because they contain nitroglycerin. Midwifery kits, because scissors might be melted down to make bullets. For lack of drugs, women bled to death after childbirth. Caesarean sections had to be endured without anesthetic. Many babies were born premature and underweight. Their mothers, too malnourished to breastfeed, had nothing to give them but sugar and tea. In September 1994, the government was forced to halve the ration as food stocks failed. 400,000 children were estimated to have died since the war, and future generations had been condemned to pay the highest price of all, the integrity of their DNA.
For the very first time in that war, the British and American military used a new and devastating weapon. It has left in its wake, on and around the battlefields, radioactive and highly toxic dust that lasts for over 4 billion years.
Depleted uranium rounds fired by the Allies had left over 300 tons of dust blowing across the sands with each new desert storm. Into the water, into the food chain. The rise in cancer was unprecedented.
But is the position even worse than first fear, that the weapons we use may also be responsible for a new wave of birth defects?
Midwives have been coping with birth deformities they've never seen before.
Pressure to end the embargo, but Britain and America resisted. The US ambassador to the UN, Madeleine Albright, described sanctions as one of the most powerful weapons in our armory and was adamant that they should stay.
We have heard that 500,000 children have died. And you know, is the price worth it?
I think this is a very hard choice, but the price, we think the price is worth it.
The US proposed the Oil for Food program. Iraq could sell $4 billion of oil a year. A third would be paid as compensation to Kuwait, the remainder used by the UN to buy humanitarian supplies. Russian and French diplomats dismissed the move as a public relations tool. In September, the World Food Programme reported, "We are at the point of no return in Iraq. People have exhausted their ability to cope." In May 96, the regime accepted the terms of the Oil for Food Programme. The Iraqi people waited 10 months for the first shipment to arrive. 125 tons of chickpeas. By April 97, of 2,000 applications submitted to the Sanctions Committee, only 284 had been approved. 40 contracts on the World Health Organization's priority list were blocked by the Americans, as were consignments of beans, cooking oil, and rice. In September 1998, the coordinator of the program, Dennis Halliday, resigned in protest.
The Oil for Food program, as conceived, is completely inadequate. It was designed, in fact, not to resolve the situation, but simply to prevent further deterioration of both the mortality rates and malnutrition. It has failed to do that. At best, it perhaps has just about sustained the situation. Sanctions do nothing but target civilians, innocent civilians. In fact, in the case of Iraq, it's targeting children, 40% of whom were not born when Kuwait was invaded.
There was worse to come. After 7 years of inspections, relations between the Iraqi administration and UNSCOM broke down.
This is not a UN commission. It has been turned into an American agency with the support of the British.
British and American planes readied to attack as the inspectors were pulled out of Baghdad. On December the 18th, Prime Minister Tony Blair stood in front of his Christmas tree to announce that the bombing had begun.
What do you want Iraqi children to think? How are they supposed to believe that friendship is possible with the world? Animals in the West are treated much better than him. The other day there was a child who said to me, "I wish I was born a dog in America."